So the key that we're trying to deliver is that it's painted a lot that you either need a public blockchain or a private blockchain. And our answer is, well, no, you have a solution. And why shouldn't you be able to dial that even if it's within the same application?
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, where we discuss insurance innovation. So, you know, I want to really jump into this episode today, and it's about the value proposition of leveraging blockchain throughout the insurance value chain. And that's from the perspective of another organization that's been pioneering the use of blockchain in different areas, not only in insurance. So, you know, before we jump in, of course, I want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast, and that's Vortex Legal. Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com. So today I have the pleasure of speaking with both Kevin Doubleday, the marketing lead, and Brian Platts, the co-CEO of Flurry, a decentralized app platform that'll transform how business applications are built. Flurry is based on blockchain technology, and we're going to dive deeper into this concept throughout the podcast. So, hey, you know, both Kevin and Brian, you know, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you both here.
Thanks so much. This is Brian. I'm really glad to be here.
Hey, so, you know, both Brian and Kevin, you know, before we get into the topics of what you all are doing with Flurry, you know, I always like to give the audience a great understanding of your backgrounds and, you know, how you got to doing what you're doing today. So, you know, Brian, we'll start with you, and then Kevin, we'll start with you after. You know, if you don't mind, let's take an opportunity to help us understand, you know, what you've done in your past within the multiple industries that you've worked in. And you know, I'm just love to understand how you got to the point prior to starting Flurry.
Yeah, well, I have been building and working on enterprise software really my whole career, which is about 25 or so years now. So I started out when the internet was just sort of in its early stages and cycles. Again, always with that perspective, not necessarily on like business to consumer sort of applications, but more on business to business applications. So most recently, I was involved with and founded a startup, which is still going on today, fairly substantial organization that focused on HR, software as a service. And, you know, we dealt with not only talent management kind of issues, but also issues around integrating with systems of record for organizations and exchanging employee-related data. Prior to that, focused a lot on enterprise content management and integrity of data. So really just a whole background on trying to solve problems, save money, create new opportunities for businesses using software and technology.
And Kevin, what about yourself?
Yeah, so my background isn't as extensive or impressive as Brian's, but I've always been in the content creation, public relations and marketing realm. I worked for a while in real estate, but I found Flurry around the same time as I found Bitcoin, became incredibly enthralled in it. And ever since then, I've just been learning a lot about blockchain and sharing my musings over my blog.
Absolutely. So you know, I want to get into what Flurry is, but before that, just because it's built on the blockchain technology, you know, if you don't mind, Brian, you know, if you could take a moment to explain to the audience what blockchain is, and then help them get an understanding of why you decided to build Flurry leveraging blockchain technology.
Yeah, so blockchain is I guess the important part for it to start out with, it's in an underlying enabling technology. So it can really do a lot of things. Sometimes I draw the analogy of saying, explain blockchain, sort of like explain the internet. And a lot of people don't understand how the internet works, but everything we do now touches the internet and it's part of everything. And if your focus happened to be on buying things on the internet and you wanted to learn about the internet, you'd probably expect me to talk about Amazon.com. But if my exposure to the internet was in free encyclopedias like Wikipedia, you know, we'd be on two totally different planes. And blockchain's a lot the same way. So when you're talking to someone about blockchain, sometimes it helps to narrow in the context. What are you talking about blockchain? Is it about cryptocurrencies? Because that's a little bit different story than perhaps something about like what we focus with Flurry, which is more on data and information sharing. They still leverage some of the core underlying concepts, but they kind of manifest themselves in different ways. So I always find it a little bit more beneficial to talk about what benefits blockchain brings as opposed to getting into the nitty-gritty details of it. And there's kind of two main, I guess, big innovations in blockchain. And innovations in that they're using what's technology that we've had around for a while. It's just combined in sort of a unique configuration that brings these characteristics out. One of them is this idea of decentralization, the idea that you can share data and transactions and information with other people without having any trust in them. You know, right now, when you think about money, because everyone can relate to that, you store money in a bank and you have to sort of trust that bank and then you have to trust the government behind that bank and all these sort of aspects. Well, blockchain allows you to trust in the data and the information and not necessarily the other party. And that's a pretty revolutionary idea and it can impact a lot of different things that we do. The other big characteristic or benefit of blockchain that it brings is it brings integrity to the information. So using blockchain technology allows you to not only prove who changed information, updated information, maybe it was spent some money, not only who did it, but when they did it. And there's no way someone could have manipulated that. There's no way they could have altered it or faked it or anything like that. It really locks that information. And this type of integrity is something that has been extremely difficult for us to achieve. Now, why are we interested in this in Flurry? Our focus, again, is on enterprise software. You know, one good example would be to look at Bitcoin. And again, we're not focused on the currency side, but it's a good example of these characteristics that we talked about because here is basically an information database, Bitcoin, that's been running for 10 years. If anyone could get in and hack it, it would be worth potentially billions of dollars to them. So there's an immense incentive for people to figure out how to manipulate this thing or attack it or do anything with it. It's not protected behind any sort of firewall or corporate barrier or anything. It's out in the open for everyone to see and use. Yet in 10 years of running, it has never once been hacked. It's maybe one of the best examples of information security and integrity that we've ever had. And like I said, the incentive is there to go at it and attack it. So if we can start bringing these characteristics to all information that we have, like, why wouldn't we? Well, we would, unless there was some sort of big downside. And that's the other part. You can start talking about some trade-offs that you have to adapt to use this sort of technology. But the good thing is that computing's evolved in a way now where these trade-offs are really inconsequential to you. So we can bring this integrity to everything we do.
Absolutely. So, you know, just understanding that, you know, if you don't mind, I'd love to, you know, dive a little bit deeper into, you know, exactly what Flurry is out to do, and then also, you know, the problem that you're solving, and then the inclusive of the value proposition for the insurance industry.
We are quite simply a better way of managing data. So every application that you use and have ever used has a way of storing data at the core. They all use a database. And we want to improve the characteristics and the ability that managing information has for everybody, every application, everything you do. And so blockchain plays a part in this puzzle, but we can actually talk completely about our technology and never even bring up the word blockchain. But certainly blockchain is a core there. So one of the things that we do with Flurry is by having this database that you can use instead of a traditional database, you're starting to get some of these benefits that the blockchain characteristics bring, like the integrity of the information, who changed what data, when they changed it. And it's really surprising. We've had to live with this so long, but you talk to almost any department, IT team in a department, and you can just ask a simple question like, how do you know that this data store that you have, you know, running your insurance business or whatever the case it may be, how do you know that someone maybe in the data management team or even an external hacker didn't change a record or update things? Do you know? And the answer usually is no. I mean, we've just never really had the capability to know. So we've kind of gotten comfortable living with the fact that we don't know. And we build up these external sort of perimeters of protection, the put it behind firewalls and all this sort of stuff. So hopefully we prevent these attackers. But the reality is today, we really don't know if data has been manipulated or changed. And what we're trying to do is bring in an era with FlurryDB where you can actually trust in the data. In fact, you can trust in it so much that you can start to eliminate the needs of certain type of auditing that you might go through and spend money for. You can start to eliminate the need to have big contracts or with third parties that you're sharing information with, because again, you can trust more in the data. You can actually start to work with and collaborate with perhaps competitors on doing regulatory things that doesn't really add value to your business, but you all have to do, yet you don't really trust each other because you're competitors, but now you can start trusting in the data. So it's a really powerful concept to bring this trust in the information, and we think the impacts are not even fully understood yet. You know, we think it's going to have change a lot of how we do things, but that's not where we stop. So we also want, as a better way of storing data, not only to bring the integrity to it, but make it more accessible. What good is data if you can't ask really powerful questions about it? So one of the things we bring to the data is this idea of time travel. Every version of your data is available throughout history. And when you ask a question to your data, you issue a query to it, you can optionally issue that query at any point in history, get an instantaneous answer of exactly what a person looking at that information would have seen at that moment in time. And again, it's provable. This means you can do things like add a rewind button to every application just because you use FlurryDB. You can deal with issues where a customer calls in and swears they saw different information on a web page or on a product sheet or a different balance days ago or 2 hours ago or 2 minutes ago. And you can actually rewind and know exactly what information was there, even if someone's changed it since. So being able to ask questions across time is a really core concept of what we do. And then the other benefit we bring in that asking question side is we've actually structured the database as a graph style database, which is all about building relationships out from information. And we're getting into an era with artificial intelligence that really likes these relationships. It's sort of like it's food for artificial intelligence. The web apps we're developing today get information typically out in these graph structures or these tree structures. And Flurry is a database that just more natively works like that than our old traditional databases, which are kind of like big elaborate Excel spreadsheets. But that's not how we access information today anymore in apps. So we combine all these different characteristics. And like I said, we're really all about creating a better way of managing information for everything we're storing.
So Kevin, you know, just thinking about everything that Brian mentioned in regards to Flurry's value proposition, you know, how do you then take what you all have built and designed and then apply it to the insurance industry? You know, where do you see the fit to apply this tech to insurance?
Right. So I always tell people that insurance and the insurance industry epitomizes the blockchain use case and the FlurryDB use case. And that's because blockchain is typically very well suited for environments where companies need to coordinate and collaborate to get things done. You take any sort of workflow in the insurance environment, be it coordinating information around a property and casualty insurance claim, know your customer, anti-money laundering checks, anything, it really requires coordination between potentially competitors or just third parties in general. And there's this distinct need for trust. And what do we do today? We have compliance checks. We have auditors. But even in those scenarios, the efficiency, the human error, and the siloed off information really lends itself to inefficiencies and potentially fraud. So blockchain is this facilitator of interoperability. It's this facilitator of company A, company B, company C working together to get things done, to get specific workflows done.
As we think about, you know, blockchain being sort of that facilitator of interoperability, I'd love to get into a use case around, you know, some of the key things that we can help to potentially mitigate, you know, through leveraging blockchain. And you know, one of the sort of the key use cases that we talk about in our industry specifically is around fraud prevention, and you know that element of utilizing it to do just that. So if you don't mind, dive a little bit deeper into how organizations can leverage blockchain to do just that, to prevent fraud, and then also, you know, how what you all are doing with FlurryDB can also play into that capability.
Sure, I'll take part A, and Brian will take part B. Combating fraud is definitely an incredibly important piece of blockchain, and it's very important. I think the FBI said that the total cost of insurance was estimated to be more than $40 billion a year in 2017, and that costs families money. It costed families between $400 and $700 in increased premium. So that is a problem, and it does need to be addressed. Blockchain within a consortium of insurance entities can facilitate the sharing of fraudulent claims for heightened visibility. So for example, if Jane Doe burns down her store and collects the insurance money, she can publish that information onto a blockchain that different companies subscribe to. And that information can be queried over time. Next time someone signs Jane Doe up for a contract, they will have that sort of visibility into her past shortcomings. It also helps fight counterfeiting, because you, with the blockchain, you can track ownership of assets through digital certificates. And you can also fight false transactions, so duplicates, repeated offenses, et cetera. When you have that sort of visibility and that data integrity that Brian was talking about, you can sort of make sure that those false transactions don't kill your efficiency and don't even enter the insurance process in general.
So Brian, you know, just thinking about you know what Kevin just mentioned, let's talk a little bit about you know what FlurryDB is doing and how that interplays into the capabilities around fraud prevention and interoperability and, you know, impact to reinsurance, bottom line, and those sorts of things. You know, how is Flurry positioned to be able to handle that as it's being deployed within the insurance space?
Well, really, it gets down to where information is being shared and trusting that that information is accurate and that information was recorded by the person who says it was. And so a lot of the fraud prevention use cases and the auditing use cases, these two key areas where we're potentially going to shave off a lot of cost in the industry, are certainly helped to a large degree by doing this. Now, I think it's important to say that blockchain isn't like this magical technology that all of a sudden requires people to only tell the truth. So that's not going to happen. People can still lie. The thing is that you have the ability to trace those lies, so to speak, down to and prove it was done by certain individuals. And the underlying technology that does that is people have they have what we call public-private keys, but kind of like a password. And that password signs transactions, and those transactions, that signature gets locked in. So you know that a certain individual did it, but you don't necessarily know for sure that that person was telling the truth, or you don't even know for sure that someone maybe that they didn't share their, you know, password, so to speak, with someone else. And this gets into it not being this magical solution, but this solution that you can now audit and understand exactly what happened. And, you know, errors happen all the time. Bad informations happen all the time. And the way that we like to handle this stuff in blockchain is the same way that might happen if you had an error with your bank, right? So you deposited or you put in the wrong amount for a deposit, or they credited you the wrong amount, and you see it on last month's statement. Well, the bank doesn't go and redo last month's statement and send you an update. On your next statement, you'll get an adjustment to that data, because you're always building on that history. The important thing is you're not destroying or updating or removing something that happened. You're always adjusting for these bumps in the road. And this is part of what maintains the integrity of the information. So the visibility of the information, the provable nature of the information, all leads towards streamlining these processes to help reduce fraud and help us trust the information better, which inherently requires less auditing and less oversight.
Yeah, I have to say I would absolutely agree with that. And when I think a little bit more as to, you know, how the application occurs in the insurance space, I see one of a few things playing out, right? So, you know, traditionally, you are probably well aware of consortiums like B3i that's out there, which, you know, a lot of the European carriers, as well as some of the domestic carriers here in the U.S. are part of. And what they're doing is trying to, you know, get a clear understanding as to how to apply the technology to our value chain, knowing that you can't just do it singularly, and you have to engage others across the value chain in order to be able to deploy it effectively. Now, you know, I'm seeing more of that on the traditional carrier side where they're exploring those consortiums, but there are other organizations like Black Insurance, you know, one that just recently came out and said, you know, they're looking at an approach even outside of you know, engaging in consortiums and, you know, even outside of, you know, engaging in what the carriers engaging with carriers and taking an approach that's going to completely cut them out of the value chain. So in essence, you know, giving agencies the capability to deploy their own products through not having a carrier in the mix. So, you know, what do you see as working best for the insurance industry? Do you see it being more of that completely decentralized approach, as you were talking about, sort of the foundation of how Bitcoin is done, or do you see it with a permission access approach, like what we're seeing from a consortium perspective?
Well, sure. I see a space for both, and I've actually never heard of Black Insurance, but you know, there are those players that are looking to completely disrupt the industry. I think the main question is going to be, which insurance companies lean into blockchain in general as a mechanism, and how much they're going to invest in that technology and the consortium vision. I think that will determine a great part of their value over the next decade. But I do think that there's room for both the consortium approach and that complete decentralization approach.
And I just want to add to that, I think that that is key to at least our view of the world as well, and what we try and enable with Flurry is that right now when people look at the blockchain space, it's kind of a confusing aspect. It goes a little bit to what I talked to before, but there's public blockchains like Bitcoin keeps getting brought up in this conversation, and then there's private blockchains. So these consortiums that you're mentioning are more private. And they accomplish different things. So it's not that one is better than the other. They actually have very different trade-offs. You know, private blockchains don't have as much distributed consensus or trust because there's not as many potentially parties involved in verifying information or kind of sharing the information. But private blockchains can have a lot more speed. So the velocity of transactions through them can be, you know, 1,000, if not even tens of thousands fold what you can do on public blockchains. You're just dealing with very different dynamics. And so with those dynamics come different trade-offs, different benefits. You know, nothing's for free. Again, none of this is sort of magic. There's trade-offs in all of these capabilities. And so the key is that when you're building an application or you're building a solution, it has got to inevitably do a bunch of different things. They all do a bunch of different things. So certain aspects of that application will favor public managing information for it in a full public blockchain, especially things where you're allowing people to buy and sell product where they don't have to know each other, but you don't necessarily want some central broker in between. There's cases where you want that. And this is definitely where the cryptocurrencies kind of fall in or leverage that kind of capability. But in a more private standpoint, sharing information with other organizations that are part of a consortium, again, you're going to get some benefits that and some different trade-offs from the public side. But now I have a network where I don't have to have every piece of information fully public. I can control the visibility of that information a little bit, but I'm distributing the trust in a little bit smaller circle, which is kind of this consortium or the people I know. And then we also think that there's aspects where you still want the benefits of blockchain. You still want this provable history, this audit trail, even if you're just storing the data internally. I mean, don't you want to know that maybe someone in the IT department didn't update a record that you didn't know about, or that you didn't get hacked that you didn't know about, and someone actually updated your database and you didn't know about it? Why wouldn't you want those benefits for all the information that you have? But that information might be private, you know, it might have some sensitive information. You don't want that shared with anyone, but you can still get some of those benefits. So the key that we're trying to deliver is that, you know, it's painted a lot that you either need a public blockchain or a private blockchain. And our answer is, well, no, you have a solution and it's going to have some data that desires the characteristics of public, some data that desires the characteristic of private, and some data that you just want more integrity around, but you don't want to share with anyone. And why shouldn't you be able to dial that for all the different pieces of data, even if it's within the same application?
You know, and I would tend to agree with that. You know, I would just ask that when you think about the type of industry that we are within the insurance industry, if we could deploy capabilities that would be sort of a mixture of both, right? It just understanding what the specific needs are. You know, and the reason why I say that is, so as I think about the claims example that we talked about a little bit earlier, where, you know, there's person A that might have filed for multiple claims within the insurance with multiple insurance companies, but, you know, think about it, take it a little bit further, where, you know, let's say if it was an auto claim and that insurance company, let's say, was engaging with an external vendor that provides the parts, right? And the vendor might have wanted to, you know, update, enhance, or change some of the costs that's associated with the parts in order to fix that auto, you know, as a part of that claim. You know, there's sort of that the visibility, right, to what that vendor is doing from a pricing perspective, if you apply the concept of that of what blockchain provides to sort of that claims history, right? But all of that then winds up happening within a somewhat of a closed and controlled environment in which the insurance carriers as well as the vendors could potentially play into to successfully deploy that capability and provide the transparency that blockchain enables. So, you know, I wonder, number one, if throughout the insurance value chain, you can truly deploy, you know, the different forms of that capability based on what the needs are for this industry. But also, you know, I wonder, you know, very deeply as I hear of some of these use cases, if some of these things would have needed to be done on a blockchain at all. You know, when I hear of the use cases that's occurring across the insurance industry, you know, I feel almost as if it's a hammer trying to find a nail, you know, that where blockchain being the technology that is, people are so focused and, you know, steered towards that being a key technology that they're looking for solutions where there might not even be one. So, you know, I guess I'll ask you the question, you know, why do you think from an insurance perspective, while we're digging into assessing where it is and what value it can provide to our industry, you know, why do you all think that this industry has been slow to adopt blockchain as a technology?
Well, I'll start off, and I'm sure Kevin will have some words on this as well. Whether it's slow to adopt or not, I think that train is moving. And I think getting to your question, is this a solution looking for a problem, and couldn't we do it some other way? And in a lot of cases, I think the answer is actually yes. You know, we have people approach us all the time who have some grand plan for blockchain, and you listen to why they think they really need blockchain. And, you know, it's easy to look at it and say, well, you could have done this without blockchain. It's not that blockchain necessarily was required to all of a sudden make this possible. And I think if you look in the history of technology, you'll see examples like that over and over and over again. It is a technology that brings certain characteristics automatically that we didn't have, like the integrity of the information, the provenance of the information. All of that is things that are very difficult to achieve without blockchain. But when you pick apart the pieces of what blockchain really is, these are, and I said this at the beginning, these are all technologies we've had around for a long time. It's not that, sure, like Bitcoin appeared 10 years ago, but it's not like Bitcoin had this magical technology that no one's ever seen before. Every aspect of Bitcoin was invented well before then. It was combined together, however, in a very new and novel way that brought out certain characteristics through this combination that we just haven't had before. And I think the key is, how do we make these characteristics just inherent and common? And I'll go back to my internet example. Like, sure, you could have placed an order with a company that wasn't in your local town before the internet existed, right? You could have called them. You could have looked at a catalog. You could have sent them the mail. It's not that you couldn't have solved that problem, but does the internet make that problem get solved easier, faster, and better? And that's really what blockchain's doing with a lot of these sorts of problems. Yes, you could have solved these problems in other ways, but have we made it better? Have we done something and improved the process using this? And I think in many cases, the answer is yes, but I won't argue with you that a lot of these use cases probably could be done some other way.
Absolutely. So just thinking about the future of FlurryDB, you know, what do you see as sort of the next step for FlurryDB within the insurance value chain? And then also beyond insurance, you know, what is the value proposition for some of the other industries that you all engage in?
Sure. I don't know, Kevin, if you had anything more to add on to that, but just jump in. I can easily talk about some of the other industries that are adapting it. I mean, we're seeing a lot around, of course, financial services. It's important that I point out this distinction that blockchains, most of them that exist, really focus on transactional aspects, you know, moving assets from person A to person B, whether it's a currency, which we've talked about a lot on this call, could be a share of stock. The idea that this transfer can happen without a central authority is a very powerful idea, but that's just one aspect of what blockchain does. That, however, is the lead horse right now in sort of this race that started with blockchain technology. And because of that, we see a lot of traction in areas that involve a lot of multi-party transactions. And of course, financial services is where you're going to see a lot of that momentum and probably who has gone the furthest with this. We believe, and of course, we're a little bit biased in this, that the ultimate value, where the real value will sit in blockchain technology, is the idea that we're bringing integrity around information and records management. These are things that the current blockchain technologies, and it's not a slight against them, but they're very poor at doing because they never focused on that problem. They focused on the problem of facilitating transactions, not storing data and information. There's an example I like to give. Certainly Ethereum is a very popular blockchain for doing, you know, custom sort of transactional stuff. But if you wanted to store just a gigabyte of data, which by today's standards is nothing, it would cost you several million dollars to store a gigabyte of data on the Ethereum blockchain. And again, it was never designed to store data and information. But with blockchain being able to bring the integrity and the auditability and the provenance of information to all record keeping, I think ultimately that's where the big value resides, and that's really where our unique focus is. For now, we're pretty unique for Flurry and getting that integrity in that side of the blockchain space.
Yeah, just piggybacking off of that, the data integrity aspect, you can apply that to a wide range of industries. Tracking charitable donations, making sure that what you donate goes to the organization that you intend to donate to. Government rec- records, tracking land title registrations, supply chain, making sure that asset A was handled correctly along a supply chain. So, you know, I always suggest looking at the derived business value from blockchain and then sort of applying that to the different industries. And you can come up with a wide list of use cases.
So, hey guys, you know, one of the questions that I always like to ask, you know, just to ensure that what we're talking about here is tangible for the listeners. And that's, you know, our podcast concept, of course, is focused around innovation. And, you know, and that question is, you know, if someone wanted to walk away with a piece of advice from what we talked about here today, you know, what advice would you give them to go back to their offices, irrespective of where they sit in an organization, and just change the status quo in a way that's going to help them innovate?
Well, I would say that at least as it relates to blockchain and trying to understand what they can do in this space, is spend maybe less time trying to understand the nuances of the technology. Again, it's sort of like a path of trying to understand how the internet works and packets flow across the internet. You know, you don't really need to know that. I think what you instead want to focus on is some of the unique benefits that blockchain technology can enable, and then really try and find some use cases or areas within your business that these benefits have real value. They can save a lot of money. Maybe they reduce the auditing risk. Maybe there's some distrust around certain pieces of information. I keep bringing up auditors, because if you look for the auditors, you can find the distrust around the information. So places where some of that exists are the areas to focus, and I think where the shorter term and largest benefits can happen, and then think about how those processes might be changed from that. And of course, if you love digging into the technology, by all means you should, because it is really interesting and fun. But you don't necessarily have to make an impact. And that's what the advice I would give.
Awesome. Well, hey guys, you know, once again, I want to say thanks. You know, I definitely appreciate the discussion that we had here today to just dig in a little bit more about FlurryDB and also about the blockchain and how you guys are using the technology. You know, if there are folks out there that's listening that wants to learn more about what you're doing, you know, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, you can always visit our website at www.flur.ee. That's FLUR.ee. You can drop us an email at support@flur.ee. And if you're a developer or someone you know is a developer and you're interested in trying us out, you can sign up for a free account right on our website.
Awesome. Well, hey guys, once again, I want to say thank you. You know, I'm just looking forward to following what you all are doing, especially as to how it relates to the insurance industry.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate you making the time and having this on your show.
Thanks, Abel. Privilege and a pleasure.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening again to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. Now, if you enjoyed what you heard and if you want to get these episodes automatically to whatever platform you're using, hit that subscribe button so you don't have to worry about whether or not you're missing that email that I sent to indicate that the episode is ready. So, you know, once again, I do want to say thank you. I truly appreciate it. So thanks again, and I'll see you next week.